Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Happy Easter!
Happy Easter!
Jesus is risen! We're excited to be together today just to celebrate the resurrection. You know, Easter is the Sunday that where church has the highest attendance in church of all the Sundays throughout the year. And there's a reason for that. Because all of Christianity rises and falls on this day, on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection. And really, you can't separate the two, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This Good Friday, we call it good because without Good Friday, there's no resurrection and there's no Christianity. But Good Friday is when we especially focus on the death of Jesus. And this year, we had a special event on Good Friday where we just commemorated in just a reflective moment all the death and burial of Jesus. That's the pictures. We have some photos. There you go. Just wanted to say thank you, especially to Ani and my wife who set it up. It was beautiful. It looked like an art installation, but it was interactive with both photos and audio. And people were walking through. We just saw tears and expressions of love, people on their knees as they went through this this installation. And this engagement, encountering Christ on the cross and understanding what the death of Jesus was all about. But let's jump on into Easter today, because today is when we focus on the resurrection. The two are two sides of the same coin. And really, the truth is that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just the foundation of Christianity. It's really the foundation of creation and human existence as we know it. Because if Jesus didn't die and rise from the dead, then all that we're talking about here just means really our gathering every Sunday really means nothing. Because we are believing and preaching a lie. And I would need to, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, I would need to spend the rest of my life apologizing to people for what I've been teaching for the past 50 years. So it's a good thing that the resurrection of Jesus is true. And this morning, we're just going to walk through some of the reasons why we believe that the resurrection happened and what the implications of that reality are for us. And how we respond to that today. So today we're looking at the very foundation of Christianity. It's something that applies to all people. Easter is a universal fact because it applies universally to all people because all of us, number one, we'll all face death. So that's the reality of life, is that everyone will face death. And so it's something that we really, each and every one of us, should think about and prepare for. And how are we preparing for it? Depends on what we believe about death. And the resurrection changes everything that we believe about death. And so the resurrection applies to all. It's universal, but it's also the resurrection of Jesus is also unique in that he is the only person who was resurrected from the dead. Some in history were resuscitated temporarily. Even the ones that Jesus raised from the dead died. But Jesus is the only one who was resurrected and lives today. And that fact has major implications for you and I. Because if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then our sins are not forgiven. We don't have a Savior. All the truths that we've been teaching that Jesus spoke might just as well be lies as well. But if it is true that Jesus rose from the dead, then everything else that Jesus taught is also true. The fact of sin, the fact of hell, the fact of salvation and forgiveness of sins, eternal life, all that Jesus taught us to do, all that he expressed to us about who the Father is and who we are in the Father, adopted as sons and daughters, promise of eternal life, all of that is also true. And so there's pretty high stakes involved in whether or not the resurrection is true. So we're going to be looking today at the resurrection, because the resurrection redefines everything. There's a famous quote by a famous Christian. If you've never read anything by the author C.S. Lewis, I'd encourage you. He's brilliant in how he writes about Christianity and explaining what it really means. But one of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis, just applied to Easter, is that I believe in the risen Christ, like I believe in the rising of the sun. Not because I've seen the sun rise, but because through the sunrise, I see everything else. And knowing Jesus, believing that he rose from the dead, changes our perspective on everything else. On life, on death, on how we live our lives, on how we relate to other people. Jesus rising from the dead changes how we view everything. And the Bible says that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is not just a historical fact that affects us. But the Bible says that we too can actually experience the resurrected life of Jesus. We're meant to experience the resurrected life of Jesus in our lives. Scripture says it this way, that when we're baptized, we are baptized into the experience of his death and resurrection. Well, let's look at this morning. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 16 through 19. It says this: if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. If we believe in the resurrection and it didn't happen, then all of this rearranging our lives, all that we've done, is just sad. And earlier in that chapter, it says, all of our preaching is useless. Sometimes we feel like our preaching is useless anyway. But the truth is, if Jesus rose from the dead, then that changes everything about this gathering, everything about our lives. And so it's important that we understand, why do we believe in the resurrection? Two quick reasons. Why do we believe in the resurrection? The first reason why we believe in the resurrection is because of the historical record. You need to know that the Bible is the most trustworthy piece of ancient literature in all of history, by far. When we look at ancient pieces of literature from the time period of the Bible, there's no other ancient piece of literature that's as trustworthy as the scripture. There are over 25,000 copies and manuscripts of the Bible that have been discovered thus far. And only a few decades ago, that number was 7 or 8,000, because we just keep discovering more and more manuscripts of the Bible from those ancient times. The next closest piece of literature for which we have manuscripts is Homer's Iliad, which has less than 2,000 manuscripts. So in other words, there's over 10 times as many biblical manuscripts as there are. And so if we throw out the Bible and say, well, it can't really be true, then we have to throw out every other piece of ancient literature. Not only that, but the Bible was written within the lifespan of people who were eyewitnesses to the occurrences in the Bible. So the earliest manuscripts that we have actually exist from the same time period when people were alive who had walked the earth with Jesus, who could have easily said, no, that's not true. All these other things are not true. These things you wrote about, they're not true. The closest that we have to that, I mean, when you look at these ancient manuscripts, things like the Iliad, are all several hundred year gap between the time that person died and the earliest manuscripts that we have. So if people like Alexander the Great, his biography was actually written hundreds of years after he died. And none of us doubt that Alexander existed. The Bible not only has its own manuscripts, but several other writers from ancient history from the same time period attest to the facts of the Bible. So it's not just internal to the Bible. Now we come to our day, and there are people who say, well, maybe this is what happened. People just fight against the truth of the Bible. Because if the Bible is true, it changes everything that we think about ourselves, and it makes it impossible to reject the claims of Jesus and all that he wrote if the resurrection is true. And so people say, well, you know, the Bible, maybe the Bible history of the resurrection, maybe there's other explanations other than something supernatural. People say, well, maybe he just fainted, you know, and just was passed out, and then he rose, you know, he came out of his fainting. Well, if you're beaten to the point of death, and the Romans executed thousands of people. Roman soldiers were very adept at execution. Jesus wasn't the only person who was crucified. Literally thousands of other people were crucified by the Romans. So they knew how to kill people and to make them suffer. So Jesus, after he'd gone through all the beatings and the suffering and the torment and being crucified on the cross, having a spear thrust through his side, water and blood gushing out, and then being put in a tomb, after 3 days he came out of a swoon, moved a huge stone out of the way, defeated a bunch of Roman soldiers who were protecting it, you know, and, or maybe his disciples just guessed that maybe he had fainted. Even though they all ran and were hiding and all, you know, from all the historical accounts, were fully convinced that Jesus had died. Much more convinced that he was died than that he would rise again. And so the swoon that Jesus fainted, or that his believers went to the wrong tomb afterwards. This tomb was a tomb of a wealthy person. This, the happening, that Jesus dying and being buried. History says that everybody in the city was aware of Jesus being crucified and being buried in that tomb. And so the most likely explanation of the empty tomb is that Jesus rose from the dead. Every other explanation defies logic. The resurrection defies logic, but every piece of history points to the resurrection being true. So why do we believe in the resurrection? In addition to the tomb being empty, literally hundreds of people saw Jesus alive and walking in Jerusalem and in Galilee after his death. And that's written in the scripture, which was written while some of those people were still alive. And those testimonies come because people researched and talked to the eyewitnesses who saw Jesus. And they could have easily said, no, it's not true. You know, there's some who think, well, maybe it was just like a mass hysteria, like they all believed that this happened. And they all had these visions of Jesus, these false visions of Jesus rising from the dead, and these false beliefs. And it just was mass hysteria all at the same time. They so believed in Jesus that they made this all up, and they talked about it so much that they just convinced themselves that it was true that Jesus rose from the dead. But the historical record is actually the opposite. That when Jesus died, they were so devastated that all of his followers abandoned him. yet we look at those same followers and we just see the historical record of how his 11 disciples all were so convinced after being so convinced that he wouldn't rise from the dead. Even when people came, the first eyewitnesses, the first people who testified, who met Jesus after he rose from the dead, came and told the disciples, they rejected it and said, there's no way. We saw him die. We saw him put into the grave, into the tomb. There's no way that Jesus rose from the dead. And yet that shifted to the point that they all willingly gave their lives for the belief that Jesus rose from the dead. His own family that at first didn't believe in him, after he died and rose from the dead, his brothers, his mother, all believed in Jesus. His younger brothers became leaders in the church, declaring that Jesus, their brother, had risen from the dead and was the Messiah. And you might fool a lot of other people, but your own family, and they ridiculed Jesus for claiming to be the Messiah before his death, burial, and resurrection. But after they encountered the risen Jesus, it completely changed their view of who he was. And so there's all this evidence that Jesus really is who he said he was, that he rose from the dead. So all the historical record that we have points to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. In fact, there's never been an archaeological discovery that has disproved the Bible, contradicted scripture. Every claim by scientists, archaeologists, that the Bible is untrue have always been from the lack of a record, saying, well, we haven't found it yet, therefore it's not true. Well, if that was the way that we practice archaeology, everything would have been a lie up until we discovered it. And scientists would have said, everything's untrue until I discover it, I research it. But the truth is, the only reason why we find things is because we suspect them to be true. And archaeology has, without fail, time after time, every archaeological discovery has only served to prove that the Bible is true. And so if we believe in the resurrection, we are aligning ourselves with science, aligning ourselves with archaeology, aligning ourselves with the historical record. Not only the historical record, but then we look at the impact of Christianity. Its impact on history. Jesus changed history. At least in the Western world, all of the Western world shifted how they count time based on the impact of the life of Jesus. All you have to do is go around the world and find cities named after followers of Jesus, because followers of Jesus had such an impact on the world because of their belief in Jesus, because of the impact that he had on their lives. And that's why on continent after continent, you can find cities named after saints, named after followers of Jesus, because of the impact that they had based on the impact that Jesus had had on their lives. All around the world, you go to schools and hospitals that are named after followers of Jesus because of the impact that he had on their lives. And so the impact of Christianity, the impact of the resurrection on human history goes on and on throughout the generations around the world to today. In fact, today, Christianity is by far the largest religion in the world. 2.5 billion people on earth follow religions based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we see the resurrection's impact on history, the historical record, impact on humanity. But the question we have to ask ourselves then, if all science, if all logic points to, if all research points to the fact of the resurrection of Jesus, if that's actually the best answer for the historical record and the best answer for the impact of that one life, because a lot of people who claim to be messiahs actually were crucified in the time of Jesus. He wasn't the only one. And reasonably, the story of Jesus should have ended with his crucifixion, like so many other people who claimed to be a Messiah. But it didn't. And so when we believe in the resurrection, when we follow the facts to the resurrection, then we have to ask ourselves personally, what are the implications for my life? What does that mean for me? The fact of Jesus' resurrection. Because if Jesus claimed to rise from the dead is true, then all his other claims are true, and the things that he spoke affect all of us. We look at Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. It says, after Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what had happened. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen him, they didn't believe her. Afterward, he appeared in a different form to two of his followers who were walking up from Jerusalem into the country. They rushed back to tell the others, but no one believed them. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they had refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. So what are the implications of Jesus rising from the dead for us personally, for you and I? Number one, the implications have to do with God's limitless power. That if God could raise Jesus from the dead, and if Jesus claimed to be the Messiah, to be the Son of God, his claim that he would rise from the dead after 3 days, if those are all true, then his claims that the same Spirit that raised him from the dead also would make us alive and would dwell in our lives, then that's also true. That limitless power, God's ability to raise someone who'd been dead and in the tomb, that same power is able to help you and I to heal broken bodies, to restore lost dreams, to heal broken relationships, to set not only Jesus free from the grave, but to set us free from the things that bind us, from the addictions and the emotions that so wind up and captivate our lives. That power is available to you and I. That limitless power is resident in us if we are believers in Jesus' resurrection. And that should change everything about how we live and how we walk through this life. And it doesn't matter what your impossible situation is. God's power to raise Jesus from the dead is resident in you and available to set you free. It also points to God's radical love. Limitless power, radical love. This is what Jesus also said. Not only that the power that raised him from the dead would be available to you and I, but also that the same love that caused him to die on the cross for us was available to you and I. That radical love. And I love how the Bible says that Mary Magdalene, a woman who had seven demons cast out of her. And I don't know if you've ever been around a person who's been possessed or demonized. I've encountered many. And they are not people you want to be around. They tend to be people that we shy away from. Mary had this reputation of having seven demons in her because her life was in the grip of those demonic powers and made her an outcast. She was one of the deepest lovers of Jesus because she was one of the people who had been most deeply set free by Jesus. Jesus loves the outcast. throughout his time, the 3.5 years that he walked here on earth, he loved going to those that everybody else rejected. The ones that no one else would touch, the lepers that no one else would touch, Jesus would go and lay his hands on them. The people, the sinners and the traitors that everyone else would avoid, Jesus would go and sit and eat with them. Jesus loves the outcasts. And all of us at times feel like outcasts. Whether we're feeling outcasts, unworthy of being with Jesus, or outcasts by the people around us. All of us walk through those moments. We like to say that Christianity is a gathering of the outcasts. So welcome, outcasts. If you ever felt like you didn't belong, this is where you belong. That's what Jesus came for. It's who Jesus came to. The question then really comes to us is, what will we do with that? Jesus came to the outcasts. He came to those who'd given up. Jesus pursued those who were walking away from him. I love that story of the two disciples, Cleopas and his wife Mary, as they were heading back home to Emmaus. Jesus comes walking alongside them and they're just devastated in grief. Jesus says, "What are you so sad about?" He said, "Haven't you heard this guy? We thought he was the Messiah. We believe in him, but he was brutally murdered, crucified, and buried, and all his disciples fled and abandoned him. And so we've been building all our hopes on him, that he was going to be the savior of Israel. And now all those hopes are dashed. And so we're just headed home. Don't know what to do. We're just walking away." And if you're one who's ever walked away, Jesus is coming after you. Just like, I love that Jesus came after them. And then just began to reveal himself to them. And our prayer is that Jesus would reveal himself to you. Jesus loves to come to the outcasts. He loves to come to those who reject him. He loves to come to those who disbelieve. Mary Magdalene, the two disciples, Mary, Cleopas and Mary, all came to the disciples and said, I met Jesus. Just like he said, he rose from the dead. Just like I remembered how he said he would rise from the dead. And I saw him. I ran into him. He came up to us. And the disciples kept saying, "Oh, we don't believe that. I can't believe it. That's just too way out. You're crazy." Jesus loves to come to those who don't believe. I don't know if you've ever doubted Jesus. I fit in with that. The doubters of Jesus, the ones who sometimes just walk away from Jesus, the one who feels like an outcast. And yet that's who Jesus comes to. Jesus today wants to come to you. And then he calls us. He comes to us with the good news that no matter what your issue is, no matter what your problem is, no matter what is affecting your life, the power of the Holy Spirit is here to heal you, to set you free, to change your situation. And that's why we gather. That's why we follow Jesus. It's because Jesus comes to change our situation. So whatever it is today that you're facing, that you have felt, maybe I don't believe that Jesus can set me free. I've hung on to this so long. I've just felt like this thing has been in my life for so long. I feel like giving up. But Jesus is here for you. And the power of God is here to set you free. And the power of God is here to heal you. And our deep desire is that today, at this Easter, as we celebrate the resurrected Jesus, that same power would touch your life. That you would experience the power of the resurrected Jesus. Because the other fact of Jesus' resurrection means that he's not in the tomb. That he's alive. That he is still here. That he's here in Taipei. The resurrected Jesus, not in the tomb, here to meet with you. So today, as we close out this service, we just wanted to give you an opportunity. We want to just pray with you. that the area of your life that you most have needs in, God will meet you. And I've asked Sam to come up and just share a testimony of how God moved miraculously in his life.
So I grew up as a Christian. I love Jesus, but I was one of those guys that said, well, I've never really seen God do that much in my life. And I was at church one time with my wife, Christina, and one of our good friends came up to us and he said, I just got back from this conference. And I went to this conference and they asked, hey, if anybody has anything that you need prayer for, would you come up and we'd love to pray for you? And he said, I had a shoulder surgery and this pin was coming out of my shoulder and I was in intense pain. I couldn't even lift a coffee mug. So I went up and lo and behold, it's a 13-year-old girl praying for it with her dad, but it's the girl praying. And so she goes, hey, how can I pray for you? She puts her hand on his shoulder. He says, and she prayed for me and she said, how is it? And I said, wow, it's about the same, which is exactly what I expected. And then she said, hey, can I pray one more time? And he said, okay. She put her hand on his shoulder and she prayed one more time. And then he said, then I lifted my arm up and 70% of the pain was instantly gone. He said, at that point, I had to decide, am I going to focus on the 70% or am I going to focus on the 30% that's still there? When he said that, something triggered in my life. And I said, okay, I have to know what this is because I've never seen God do anything like that. I need to know how to do it. He said, hey, I got this DVD set. This is 2012. There's 60 meetings on how to pray for the sick and healing, and so me and my wife, Christina, we just watched through all of them in one or two nights. Okay, this is great. We go on this prayer walk a couple weeks later. We're almost finished, and all of a sudden I realize that someone on this prayer walk with us, she's got this cane, and she's walking like this. And so I thought, hey, I just learned how to pray for this thing. I should ask her if I can pray for it. So I asked, can I pray for you? And of course she says, yeah, that'd be great. And so I put my hand up and I remember, okay, in those videos they said, speak to the illness. I said, ankle or whatever's going on, be healed right now. If there's any bones that are out of place or broken, be healed. And then I have that thought, oh no, I have to, if I really believe God's going to do something, I better ask her if she feels better. And so I look up like this and I'm super embarrassed. I look up and I go, do you feel? And all of a sudden you see her eyes, and her eyes are about this big. And she goes, we were praying. I felt this intense pain in my ankle, and then all the pain left. Turns out that she had a broken ankle for 10 months. I'm so glad I didn't know that. I would have been terrified. And the doctor said it cannot be fixed without surgery. And she had x-rays and everything. It was awesome. And so then she starts testing it out, because that's what you do when God touches you. She starts jumping, and then she walks down this mountain that we're on and throws her cane into her dorm room. She's a college student. And goes and tells everybody about it. First time I've ever seen anything like that. The point is, all this happened because my friend said, ow, my shoulder hurts. I'm going to go out and let this 13-year-old girl pray for me. That's awesome.
So why don't you stand? We're gonna close with a time of prayer today. Because here's the deal. The same Spirit, if you're a Christian, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, is resident in each and every one of us. So we're just gonna take a moment here and pray for each other, because this is what we do. Jesus actually said, church is meant to be a house of prayer for everybody. Not just the experts, not just the pastor. And so just find someone next to you and just say, what can I pray for you for? Let's believe God for the things that seem impossible in our lives and just ask God to help. And if you'd like, you can come forward and get prayer there as well. But just, we'll take the next couple of minutes, just turn towards somebody and just ask them what you can pray for. And think of the most difficult thing in your life and let's believe God. Let's give God a hand for answering prayers this morning. Praise God. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.